If you have a Bible, I'd ask you to turn to Psalm 42 and stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll read the whole psalm and then we'll dig on in. Psalm 42, verse 1. It says, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember, as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Haram and from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is within me. A prayer to God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, 'Where is your God?' Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we come before you this evening and just ask, Lord, as we open this text, Lord, that you would just encourage our souls to hope in you. Father, may we just desire you all the more after we leave this place than before we entered. Lord, we thank you and love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So Psalm 42 is really, when they did the Bible translation and they divided it out, they sectioned it out, because 43 should have went with 42. Everything I read and everything I looked at, Psalm 42 and 43 should go together. So I'm not going to preach 43 tonight with 42, so I would encourage you later to read 43 in light of 42. The author, according to most scholars, is the sons of Korah. But some also say it's David. And so either way, it's written. And it's really the situation in the life of the psalmist that I think all of us can resonate with. If you've been a believer for any length of time, you probably have had high mountaintop moments where you're on fire for the Lord and you love him more than anything. And then you have those moments where you feel like you're in the deepest, darkest pit you've ever been in, and you can never see the light of day again. We go up and down, it seems like, in life, in our faith. And the hope is, as we get older, that up and down starts to get a little smoother and a little smoother, and not quite as many ups and downs, because we have more experience in life. But the psalmist here, he's actually fighting with himself. He's having an argument with himself. He has the intellectual knowledge of who God is, but his soul is in turmoil. And so as we walk through the text, we'll see this. It says in verse 1, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. Now, if you have the King James translation, you'll see that it says as a hart. It's really, the translation is some form of a deer or a stag or some animal to that effect that is longing for water, wanting to be thirsty. I feel like I can relate to the deer somewhat, because whenever you go hiking in the woods and you see a stream flowing, it looks so delicious usually, at least in Michigan when I would go hiking. But the psalmist is saying, just like that deer desires the water, so does my soul, because it is thirsty and it needs to be quenched by the living water of God. He goes on and says in verse 2, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. This is showing an intimate connection with God. In the Old Testament, we didn't always see such personal devotion. We saw lots of holding of the law and going to the temple and things of that nature, but not this, I thirst for God and I desire the living God. That seems like New Testament language, having the living God with us. But the psalmist is saying, this is what I want. I desire it. I seek it. He says it in both verse 1 and verse 2, showing this deep longing in his soul. Continues in verse 2 and says, when shall I come and appear before you, or before God? He really wants to be near the Lord. Have you ever had a time in your life where you wanted to be near the Lord, but you felt like he was so far away that you couldn't even fathom being near him? Have you ever been in a part in life where whatever tragedy or struggle or strife or difficulty may have happened, the loss of a loved one or a tragic happening, that you're like, how can I praise the Lord? The psalmist is with you in this, and he says, I want to be near you, but I long for you, and I desire you. He says, but my tears have been my food day and night. He hasn't been eating because he's just in mourning and weeping and crying. He desires the Lord, but he seems distant. It says in verse 3, it continues, it says, why they say to me all the day long, where is your God? So the psalmist is in a specific situation where he is struggling in his faith because he's got an enemy oppressing him and mocking him and going, well, where's your God? I don't know about you, but I have family who are atheists. They don't believe in God. And anytime something tragic happens, they love to throw that in my face and they go, so where's your God at now? Why didn't he answer your prayer? You said you've been praying for healing. Why didn't it come? They throw it in my face. They make it hard. It makes me have tears because I want them to know the Lord. But they oppress and push away him. And the psalmist says, this is what happens to me all the time. They do this to me all the day long. And they say, where is your God? But in verse 4, he says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise and a multitude of keeping festival. The psalmist goes, they say, where is your God? But I remember what God has done in my life. I remember what he did when I used to lead worship and help people know the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I have this little card that I keep in my journal that I use. It's a little card that was given to me many, many years ago where I was supposed to write all my dreams and hopes for my life in my pursuit of God. So I wrote them down, and I began to remember every time that happened, one of those dreams or hopes came true, I would write it down and date it. Write it down and date it. And the card keeps getting fuller and fuller because the Lord keeps revealing more dreams and hopes for my life and my family's life. And I remember in the dark days the things that God has done for me. I call them spiritual markers. That if you journal or write, or some people write in their Bibles, sometimes we can look back at what God has done through a tragedy or a difficulty or a joyful moment, and we can remember who God is because what he has done. And the psalmist is saying, I remember when I used to worship the Lord. I remember these things. His mind has the knowledge and he knows this, but his soul is longing because he feels distant from the Lord. And then in verse 5, he gets in a fight with himself. He says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? He's asking his soul, why? You remember what God has done. Why? And it says, hope in God. I love that Austin said the only hope we have is in Jesus. Because that's what the psalmist is saying. He's telling himself, hope in God. He's telling his mind, is telling his soul, even though it hurts and it's hard and it's difficult and there's pain and suffering and tears, hope in God. Cling to him. Come to him in the dark days. Seek him in the hard times. Hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. reminds himself that God is his salvation and his hope. He says, my soul is cast down within me. So he turmoils back. He knows he needs to hope in God, but he returns to, my soul is downcast. Therefore, I remember from the land of Jordan and of Haram, man, names are hard sometimes, and from Mount Mizar. He's remembering another time. So again, he's going through another turmoil, and he's remembering what God has done when he was at the Jordan. He says, deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. He's proclaiming God's mercy and love and compassion that extends as far as the east is from the west has went over him like a waterfall. It has refreshed his soul. It says in verse 8, by day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me. Like Shelley said, we sing the song over and over and over. It is well with my soul. Because sometimes when it's not well, we need to tell ourselves it is well. Because God is with us and he is our hope. I can remember many days while in college desiring to have a wife and not finding one. And praying to the Lord, it is well with my soul because I trust in you. I know it seems somewhat trivial, but for a 28-year-old guy, you kind of want to get married at some point. I had to sing, it is well with my soul. And remind myself that God is my hope. Not a wife, not children, not anything. Psalmist knows that the song is with him. And it says at the end of verse 8, a prayer to God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppressors of the enemy, the oppression of the enemy? He keeps vacillating back and forth between, I rejoice in the Lord. I'm downcast. I rejoice. Right? He keeps this tension of wrestling. He didn't sit down and just write the psalm in one day, just to be clear. This is like a period of time in his life where he is struggling. It says, I say to God, my rock. Makes me think of Bruce's sermon from a few weeks back that talked about the wise man built his house upon the rock. We sing the song at our house often, and we got to build on the rock. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? His enemy is upon him again, and he's struggling. Verse 10, it says, as with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me. While they say to me all the day long, where is your God? And he screams at himself again and says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. I believe that in the Christian walk, we have spiritual depression at times. We struggle because something has tragically happened and we don't know how to deal with it. We don't know how to handle it. Like Shelley mentioned, just this past week, we've had two funerals, and I was at children's camp a week ago this past Friday with one of our students who lost his cousin, and to have the conversation with him and tell him, it broke my heart. I didn't know the man, but my heart broke for the young man who had to learn that, and he didn't know how to handle it because his soul was downcast because his loved one was gone. Do you know what he said when I said, you can go home if you want to? He said, no, I had a job to do. I came here for a reason, and I'm going to finish it. Because he had hope in God. He didn't have hope in anything but God and God alone. So when our souls are downcast and our hearts are heavy, we need to take our mind that knows the truth of God and say, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil? Hope in God. If we tell ourselves that it is well because we have hope in Jesus, We can get through a lot of dark days. And I'm sure that if we had time, when we had testimonies of people in this room, we could hear multitudes of testimonies of people who've walked through trials and fire and difficulties, but they hope in the Lord still, because He is the rock in their salvation. I pray that this evening, as we wrap up, that when you have a difficult time in life, a struggle, a burden, one, that you'd share it with us so we can bear the burden together. But two, that you would proclaim that my hope is in God and nothing else. Let us pray. Heavenly Father God, we come before you and just thank you for this day. I do ask, Father, that as we gather here, Lord, that you would be proclaimed and you would be glorified, and we would just cling to you, Father, for the hope we have in you and nothing else. I praise you, Lord. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.